from Everywhere USA. It's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Here we go, here we go. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, America's life coach, bringing you this audio safe space for cool people. We say it every damn day. We don't care if you're a Republican. We don't care if you're a Democrat. Just don't be a punk. That's it. It's pretty straightforward. I, of course, lean a bit to the right, but I am confident enough in my ideas that I welcome discourse with every political ideology. Okay, it's the only way we're going to fix this country. It's the only way we're going to get ahead is if, in fact, we start having honest conversations, not labeling our political opponents as, you know, hate speech and fascists. I mean, if we're going to be honest, I wasn't the best history student in the world. You know, nobody ever copied off me on a test. But as it pertains to fascism, okay, first of all, it's an insult to anybody who ever suffered, you know, from the Holocaust. It's an insult to anyone who ever fought to end it. To be out there saying Donald Trump is Hitler and his supporters are Nazis, it's absurd, okay? And we do need to be a little bit more responsible with our dialogue, people on the left. But as it pertains to actual fascism, okay, the people being called the fascists are the ones having their speech shut down right now. Can you think about that for a second? Like, oh, you guys are fascists. That's why we're going to shut down your speech.
I think he's got a point.
They're the ones behaving like fascists, silencing dissent. And right now, in this hour, as the president's been banned on Twitter, Facebook, okay, Pinterest. I'm not kidding. I wasn't joking yesterday when I said Pinterest announced that they were joining into the banning of Donald Trump. I'm not, like, it's insane. That's where we are in 2021. I got a newsflash for you. Trump wasn't on Pinterest. He wasn't. What is the real concern here? He's got an inflammatory way of hanging up curtains. He's going to post a Pinterest post about decorating for bridal showers that's going to set everybody off. The guy wasn't on Pinterest. You got to stop. But this is every one of, you know, they call it the woketopia. This is every one of these corporations banding together in unity. And it's not because they care about decency. It's not because, you know, they're trying to make for a better society. Okay, there's a lot of collective social pressure. There's a collective psychology when it comes to corporations in America. You know, the very ones that were sponsoring all of the violent chaos we saw this summer when eight or nine Democratic cities were set on fire. Dozens of people were killed, including over a dozen cops. Hundreds of black-owned businesses were burnt to the ground in the name of progress.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
That's what they told us. No, this is progress. Kamala Harris was bailing these people out, tweeting links to bail them out on Twitter as Minneapolis raged on fire. People were looting, you know, Macy's. That's what they mean on the left when they say we're all in this together. They mean we're all in this Macy's. Getting our Christmas shopping done early. It's insane. It's an insult to your intelligence. But corporations were sponsoring that unrest, which oftentimes resembled, for a few weeks in the beginning of June, it looked like a full-on societal collapse. But the corporations were okay with that type of political violence because it fit with that woke narrative, that woke virtue signaling, self-righteous, we're better than you, we're the side of the compassionate and the good. It's a branding exercise for them, okay? Saying you're on the side of progress, no matter how, you know, idiotic the plan to enact it might be, because let's be clear, okay? If you're burning down black-owned businesses, if you're firing black police chiefs like you did out in Seattle, in the name of progress, you're not achieving any. Okay, so their plan was in fact idiotic. Okay, the plan to basically pass America the bill for their own municipal mismanagement. That's what the protests were. Okay, hey, these people have no choice but to riot. They've been ignored for 50 years by their leaders. Yeah, all right, kind of makes sense until you realize their leaders were all from the same political party. Minneapolis was run by Democrats for 50 years. I mean, what's going on in Chicago? What's going on in Seattle? What's going on in Portland? They're all being run by the same damn party. It's running these cities into the ground. So these people did have a choice. Vote for another party. But rather than exercising their power at the ballot box, they exercised, you know, kind of a raw physical power in destroying cities. And the local leadership that appeased it, that failed to get it under control, they passed the buck back to America. They said, hey, you know, America's systemically racist. You know, we got to get rid of Donald Trump. That's the problem. This country's been racist since it was founded in 1776. You know, the country has been racist forever. So this government, which has been so racist, we've got to get rid of the guy that's been in it for 4 years and replace it with a guy who's been in it for 47 years.
This is ridiculous.
That's what the Democrats did. Like, ah, oh, this country's been racist for a few hundred years. I know what we'll do. We'll elect a guy who's been in the government for a few hundred years. Joe Biden's been in Washington since Washington. Okay, but the corporations were on board with that level of political violence because it worked with their messaging. It worked with their branding exercise. Okay, as does this one. They're in favor of shutdowns. They're in favor of, you know, minimizing the Republican ability to fundraise, the Republican ability to communicate with people. But the truth is, if you're in support of this, what you need to understand, okay, is this will ultimately be the downfall of social media, but it'll ultimately be one of the worst things in the world that's ever happened to this country, okay? When it comes to the First Amendment, our government, okay, as it pertains to free speech, cannot arrest you for saying things, okay? That is good. That's the good news. As of now, that's still in place. But when it comes to corporations and their ability to now supersede our government and becoming the arbiters of what you can and can't say in the public square, that has taken place. They have silenced a president. Okay, yeah, you're not going to lose your, you know, you're not going to go to jail for something you might say on Twitter, but you could very well lose a job. You could very well lose an endorsement. You know, there's a lot of things you could lose. And the point is, you know, a lot of those things have always been an accepted reality of doing business in this country. I mean, I'm a guy on the radio nationally, and I know there are regulations to the things I can't say that because it has to do with decency. You know, it has to do with, you know, broadcast integrity. And we adhere to that. Okay. But we adhere to that because there are checks and balances in place for the people who are deciding what we can and can't say. There is an infrastructure to hold those people accountable, to tell us who they are, to tell us why the rules are changing, and to give us some type of direction as to why we're going to follow and adhere to whatever the guidelines evolve to be. When it comes to social media, that's not the case. This is a faceless panel of tech nerds out in Silicon Valley saying you can or can't say something. The government has no ability. You know, you've heard Matt Gaetz on my show before. He flat out said, big tech owns Congress. Anybody telling you, oh, we're going to, you know, we're going to break them up. Oh, we're going to take away their Section 230 protections. Oh, we're going to nationalize them. Anybody telling you that, they might believe in these ideas, but they're never going to happen because the big tech lobby is already too powerful. It already wields too much power. But the truth is, yes, right now the First Amendment's there, okay? But when big tech is beyond the government, okay, when big tech is cracking down on anything you can say, if in fact it runs in counter to the woketopian narrative, okay, it is only a matter of time before your freedoms are in fact curtailed. And what people on the left need to understand, okay, this is the most honest show on the radio, man. We don't, you know, I don't think I should be running the country. I'm not the omnipotent radio host who thinks he knows better than anybody. Okay, I learn every day as I go on this show. Okay, but you need to know this. The reason people are bothered by the idea of big tech oligarchs being the gatekeeper of speech in this country is because, you know, right now, as conservatives, it doesn't help us because they're censoring us overwhelmingly. It's spectacularly disproportionate in terms of the amount of right-wing people getting kicked off Twitter versus left. Okay, right now, in the short run, yes, it doesn't favor us. But in the long run, okay, it doesn't favor you either. Because once there is someone out there that's in charge of what we can and can't say, it's in charge of what you can and can't wear, what you can and can't eat, who you can and can't have over your house. You know, once they become the arbiters, the gatekeepers of our society, okay, once you've empowered them to that degree, you yourself as a liberal who's listening right now as someone who's not been shut down, who's listening right now as someone who has benefited from censorship. You yourself need to know that if this becomes the standard operating procedure in this country, you are going to wake up someday in a country where the political gatekeepers don't share your point of view.
Bingo.
And that's the problem. Okay, right now you're like, oh, this is great. They're shutting down the conservatives. Get rid of Trump. Can't stand that guy. Woo! You think it's great. Okay, but if this is the standard, if whoever the big power broker happens to be in Silicon Valley, whoever's got the hot new app, because these apps, they become the public square. That's where we communicate. You know, when people say, oh, Twitter, they didn't take away Trump's speech. He could hold a press conference right now. Yes, he could. Okay, unfortunately, the news networks, I don't know if you've been paying attention the last 4 years, aren't exactly distilling his words as he said them. His whole motivation for being on social media is to deliver an unfiltered message to the masses. And I do believe him when he says unfiltered. Judging by some of the language, judging by some of the typos, judging by, you know, some of the misspellings. I mean, we've all been there. I'm not giving a valedictorian speech anytime soon. But the point is, the president was giving it to you straight. Okay, he wasn't communicating with you like a child, like politicians like to do. Politicians communicate with their constituents in carefully curated sound bites. Okay, everything out of their mouth traditionally goes through 25 or 30 strategists who decide how to reword everything just right so it comes out in a nice digestible morsel so you eat it and go, look at that nice man saying nice things. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, selling out your job, selling out our manufacturing base, getting us into dopey foreign trade deals, idiotic climate change agreements, the Iranian nuclear deal. Oh my God, the fact that the media was okay with that because it was said to us in a nice way. Barack Obama gave $50 billion in cash assets to the biggest state sponsor of terrorism in the world.
I don't see you doing any better in the booty department.
It was idiotic, but there was nobody there to hold him accountable because the media, the people in charge, okay, of deciding what stories you can and can't read, didn't want stories out there saying this was a bad idea. Just the way when the Hunter Biden scandal broke, Twitter, Facebook, they put their thumb on the scale. They interfered in the election by not letting that story get out to the masses. If you remember, we reported on a Gallup poll that told us 2 weeks after the election that over 72% of Democrats had not heard of the top five scandals facing the Biden administration or the Biden campaign at the time. 72% of Democrats had not heard of the top five scandals facing him because they were communicating in ideological thought bubbles that didn't share any information that ran counter to the prosperity of the movement. So they just pretend it didn't happen. We live in pretend worlds. And I bring that up because if you guys, I don't know if you saw this, but Joe Toscano, who is one of the stars of The Social Dilemma, which is on Netflix right now, which is fascinating. It's comprised of people who were big tech executives, people who worked in Silicon Valley when they were founding companies like Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And they basically tell the story about how they've put together this algorithm and what started out as something that they thought might be a source for good has become the biggest existential threat to coexistence and harmony in this country that we've ever seen domestically. Social media is garbage, and it's created a world where it incentivizes conflict. Okay, you're going to get more likes if you dump on the other side. You write a joke, you get likes, but if you insult somebody's beliefs, you get likes times five. They've incentivized conflict. And along the way, because you carefully curate what winds up in your news feed and everybody just wants their own confirmation bias, we've created a world where half of the Democrats, half of the country, has no idea or thought access to what we believe as conservatives, okay? Because they won't even dare consume it. They won't even be caught dead around it because there's so much pressure not to from a social pressure standpoint. Okay, on the right, we understand the Democratic viewpoint because we're willing to talk to them and debate them because we're confident in our views. We're not, you know, engaged in using identity politics as a cudgel to just, you know, force them off the stage. But the vast majority, okay, of people out there aren't intimately familiar with the other side's viewpoints. They're living in pretend worlds because of social media, okay? And when you have an electorate that patently thinks the other side is crazy, that thinks the other side is inherently racist and here to destroy us,
this could be a problem.
A big problem. And social media is the one perpetuating it. And we do need to find a way to hold them accountable. We'll take a quick break and we'll tell you how after this.
A show so good, it's frightening.
I got scared. I dropped my hot pocket.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Across America with Jimmy Failla, 888-788-9910. Dave Landau's coming up in the next break. He is a nationally touring comedian who is heading out to Hilarities in Cleveland, Ohio this week. That is actually where I met Jenny Failla, my wife, the mother of my child, that could possibly come up during our discussion about censorship. But we're not going to dwell on it right now because there's one other point that needs to be made here. And it comes from Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who had this to say in Washington yesterday. This is clip 7.
This kind of censorial instinct is dangerous. It's morally wrong. Indeed, it's against your statutory mandate here at VOA. Censorship, wokeness, political correctness, it all points in one direction, authoritarianism cloaked as moral righteousness. Similar to what we're seeing at Twitter and Facebook and Apple and on too many university campuses today. It's not who we are. It's not who we are as Americans. And it's not what Voice of America should be. It's time that we simply put wokeism to sleep.
It's actually spot on. I agree with him 1,000,000,000%. And what you need to understand is in this moment, these guys who are, you know, speaking out on behalf of President Trump, and, oh, they shouldn't have banned him, okay? They know Trump is leaving office in 8 days. This isn't about Trump. There are people in the world who care about the country, who are adults, who are common sense people, who understand that we are not living on a sustainable path right now. We're not flying on a sustainable trajectory if we're going to keep overwhelmingly censoring one side. First of all, if, again, ideas are bad, you don't want them, drive them underground. You want them out there where you can see them. You know, they always say sunlight is the best disinfectant. I mean, when it comes to the First Amendment, that's the whole point of having it out there. Let everybody say whatever the heck they want. And remember this. If you're my political opponent, you think my ideas are crazy, you should want me saying them because they're only going to help you in the long run. But the truth is the Democrats don't think Republican ideology is crazy. They get its appeal. They get that a lot of it is what this country was founded on. They also get that it's a detriment to their own electoral prospects. So why help the country when you could help the party? And that's the part that pisses me off. That's the part Mike Pompeo's talking about right then and there. This isn't about Trump. Trump's leaving. He's going golfing. He's going to go start a TV network. All we know, I don't know where he's going. I just know he's not going to the inauguration. And he's fighting with Ivanka because she wants to go, but he's worried about her safety. There could be protests. Plus, you could get a contact high from Hunter. Not good.
It's America's Life Coach. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
You better believe it is. Coming to you live from the greatest country in the world. People hear that. They're like, ah, guy calls himself America's life coach. He must really think a lot of himself. You've spoken like someone who's never met a life coach. A lot of these people have no idea what they're doing. They're essentially the same folks on Twitter who are telling you how to run your life while they have no idea how to run theirs. And joining me now to confirm all of this reporting is accurate. He's a superstar comedian. A lot of you followed him on Twitter before they killed off your accounts. Dave Landau's back. Hey, man.
Hey, how are you, sir?
Good now. Better now. It's been a crazy week. Go ahead.
Yeah, I actually lost 900 followers in a day, so I'm the new Jim Jones.
Did Twitter at least supply them with Kool-Aid before they offed them from your account? Can we confirm that?
Well, if they didn't drink it, we made sure they did. I'll put it that way.
Oh, Davey, nice to have you back. That is so funny, man. That is a home run joke. You talk about, making lemonades out of lemon, or in this case, Kool-Aid out of some lemons they gave us on the Twitter. This is
Flavor Aid, actually. Kool-Aid gets all this credit.
Yeah.
And Flavor Aid's like, that was us.
Yeah, for some reason, I don't know that the Flavor Aid's PR firm actually did speak out requesting credit.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, it was totally Kool-Aid.
you believe these guys? Well, do you remember when back in the day we were joking about what kind of money Bud Light paid the World Health Organization to get Corona called Corona?
Oh, yeah, yes.
Somebody got cut a sweet, sweet check because it was like weeks before spring break. They're like, do me a favor. This COVID thing, nah. What if you took it a step further? You know, everybody's hustling us, Dave Landau. That's why I have you on the show. We've got, we're the referees here. We've got to blow the whistle from time to time and set things straight.
I think they should just call them Milwaukee's best, because that is a virus in and of itself.
Well, listen, man, I grew up in I'm not going to disparage the beast drinkers in the audience, and I also don't mean to show off and pistol whip this crowd with my own economic prosperity, but I grew up in a Meisterbrau house, Dave Landau.
Oh, my.
Yep, my dad would fight crime. And then he would come home, get a 12-pack of Meisterbrau and a stick of pepperoni, and he would fight obesity in our above-ground pool.
I grew up on a MD-2020 curb.
I always forget what kind of class you're bringing to this program.
Bringing in the mad dog.
So let's talk about this, because all of these crackdowns, this isn't about progress. It's about power. That's what this is about. Mm-hmm. Because they're not censoring people because they care about society, because there's no, like, even-handedness to it, meaning they're only censoring one side of political violence, no?
Yes, absolutely. Speaking truth to power is now retweeting the FBI.
think about that.
Comedians. We went from Lenny Bruce getting arrested for obscenities to these guys ratting out bricklayers. Think of it's insane.
And it's true. And that's the part that I don't get, is that there is a generation of comics right now. And I think a lot of it has to do with branding. I think it's a branding exercise from the standpoint of it looks better in their circle to say I'm on your side in terms of like that woke groupthink than it is to think for yourself. But we are, for all intents and purposes, abandoning our responsibility as comics, who were the ultimate firewall when it came to free speech up until this generation.
You couldn't be more accurate. I couldn't have said it better myself. Our job is to kind of go against that and to question everything. And it's also to have your own voice, not join a group of voices so you can be liked. Like, there's no way you can stand out by just seeking the approval of others. I mean, yeah, we all do it to some degree. It's why we do comedy, to get the approval of others. But when that's all you're going for, there's no longer any backbone to it. It's just this spineless stance that all these comics are taking. It's the same with the ones that just go, if you're performing on the road and you might as well just kill your grandparents. It's like, well, mine are already dead, so I'm off to the races.
Ours,
like, there's no...
ours already saw our first special and died of embarrassment. You don't have to worry about it. But no, you know what, man? Something you're saying, it just crystallized for me, okay? I'm going to put it in MTV terms and take it back to maybe the late 80s, early 90s. Comics used to be Robert Palmer, a unique thing, that stood out and had a bunch of backup dancers. Now we're all becoming the backup dancers. Remember how Robert Palmer had 30 identical women dancing behind him?
Yes.
Nothing weird about it. But they were all
nothing at all. It's all the same.
But they were all identical, one from the other, completely indistinguishable. And comics used to be, trying to stand out like Robert Palmer. Now they are trying to blend in. Now they're all Robert Palmer backup dancers. And it's hurting the profession, because the thing we've talked about, and I think late night comedy would be a good thing to point out here, is that comedy used to have a uniting power, in that people put differences aside and consumed comedy because we could point out like universally accepted truths about an issue we might not have all agreed on. But now the fact that we disagree on anything is grounds to not even get together with the other side, let alone have a laugh at one of these inconvenient truths. So do you think on any level late night comedy has failed under Trump? Has it failed the country, Dave Landau?
Well, absolutely it has. Look at the old Conan and look at the old, and I mean, he's still at it, but you look at Letterman and you look at what Carson did and you look at even what Jay Leno did. There was a point of that you kind of made fun of everything and everybody laughed at it. Mm-hmm. I don't understand where it became that I have to agree with a comedian to find them funny.
Oh, it's so true. That's
and not only that is I not only that, but I don't have to agree with a comedian, but I don't have to be offended so much by what they say that I demand that they never be heard from ever again.
I know that.
Because I didn't care for one point that they have.
I mean, I always think about that. The staggering sense of self-importance that you didn't like something means nobody else can consume it. Like, can you imagine, you know, if that's the way life, you go out to a restaurant, you're like, yeah, I don't like air conditioning. So these other 300 people can't have it now. Like, but that's what we've become. It's like everybody's that self-important, and I blame social media. That's why I say, like, Twitter banning Trump doesn't go far enough. Twitter should ban all of us.
Yes, it should. I mean, some of us should have a voice, especially you and I. But
debatable.
Probably not.
I know.
But no, Twitter should – not every human being should have a voice. George Carlin put it the best, you know. Think of how dumb the average person is, then realize that 50% of the population is stupider than that. Where they're not all born leaders. We don't need to hear everybody's opinion. And most people just want to jump on the bandwagon of attack. And that's why we're now living in this society where, I don't know, it seems like there were a lot of fires during the summer. And then somebody breaks a window on Wednesday and everything flips and you just go, I don't understand anybody anymore.
Well, that's
like,
yeah.
Well, they're just getting revenge on Trump's fan base and Jeff Dunham's at the same time.
if you're just joining me, Dave Landau is here, and he is not happy that the left is sticking it to Big Puppet.
He's I am not.
Going after Jeff
Walter.
Dunham.
He's already a grump.
Yeah, come on, man. He's taking the fight to Big Puppet. We don't appreciate this. We're fighting big tech. Come on, you losers. It is funny, though, because if you talk about the Capitol violence, which everyone roundly condemned on the right, because that's what you're supposed to do. You condemn bad stuff, whether it helps you or not. You just condemn it. That hasn't always been the case in this country. But it's worth pointing out that if the Democrats had their way in June, the Capitol, you know, they keep telling us, like, how much worse it would have been if it was Black Lives Matter protesters storming the Capitol, which isn't racially divisive at all, by the way. You know?
No. Well, I love how they keep saying somebody would have been killed, and it's like, somebody was.
Somebody was killed. An unarmed woman was shot and killed. She's a veteran.
Right.
But that doesn't count, because it wasn't their cause. But never mind when they talk about how much worse it could have been. It actually could have been worse, because if they had their way, there wouldn't have been cops. There would have been social workers. Can you imagine social workers defending the Capitol last week?
Oh, it's very hard to talk down anybody wearing a Viking helmet.
We'll give you that.
I just looked at that guy. I'm like, really? This is we're going to believe this is a real representative of the right, a guy who looks like Tom Hanks leaving the pagan party in Dragnet.
That's pretty solid. Yeah, he wasn't even busted by real cops. He was busted by the fashion police, I believe. They pulled him over. They're like, yeah. Electric chair. But yes, I mean, the guy is a fringe idiot. But to that point, they will gladly use the fringe as an excuse to characterize the other 74 million people as being exactly that. And it's dangerous, because one of the reasons people are so mad is they've seen this double standard. Okay, there was a Bernie Sanders campaign worker who shot up a congressional softball game and almost killed Steve Scalise. We didn't pin that on Bernie, and it's not because he didn't have divisive rhetoric. He said Trump stole an election, said the 1% were the worst people who've ever lived. It's because we didn't pin it on him, because we're not idiots. And we're not, you know, there are standards and practices when it comes to how far we'll go to score political points. What they like to do on the left is say, ah, the right will stoop to anything while stooping to anything. And that's what's so infuriating, I think, to a lot of people.
I think that's perfectly said, and I think right now a lot of what's happening in this country is, like you said, with social media, is people do want to be people do want to be accepted and liked and attacked. So they look, hey, I can attack these people. It's very divisive. So every day, it's like you said with the 1%, they hate the 1%. Well, globally, 1% is people that make more than 30 grand a year. Mm-hmm. We're a country that's very well off, but we have to convince everybody that they're not well off, that they need to buy more. We basically try to convince us that they are nothing and have nothing while trying to sell us everything. And we're becoming a nation of people who are unsatisfied and unangry because none of this stuff makes us happy.
Nothing.
So now we're turning on each other over an election. People are acting, you know, like the PGA is taking away their tournament from Trump's course in 2022. It's like, really? You just let in a half black guy 8 years ago.
Yeah, don't. You guys are the stalwarts of progress.
Yes. Whenever I think golf, I think interracial. I think yeah. It's never been an elitist white sport. It's like, just stay out of it.
Yeah,
he was a president. That's what's so crazy about it. He wasn't a dictator. He wasn't Hitler, even though you guys have called him that.
Yeah.
He was a president.
But that's what's so insane about it, is they called him a dictator for 4 years. I'm like, last I checked, a lot of dictators don't have their speech silenced. You know, they don't get thrown off social media. Like Chris Hayes at MSNBC tweeted that the other day because he was trying to put down Trump. And he had tweeted, for real, he goes, you don't see Xi Jinping getting kicked off social media. I'm like, yes, because he would kill the people who wanted to because he's a dictator. Like, people don't listen to themselves, so they don't realize, like, that is what the kids would call a self-own, you know? And to your point, though, it's interesting that you say that nobody enjoys anything. This is like our Robert Palmer revelation from earlier in the show. You were speaking and jumped something off in me. You're right to say we'll never be happy, because what did they tell us this country needed more than anything was to get rid of Trump? Well, now that Trump has accepted the election and said he'd cooperate with a peaceful transition of power, they decided that wasn't good enough. They're like, no, he has to come out today. We read 100 op-eds between Thursday and today that he had to come out that day, and that they're voting tonight on the 25th Amendment to get him out tonight. They're impeaching him to try to get him out in 8 days. He's not leaving. But the point is, even when he does, it won't be good enough, because I think this on-demand world and the social media world, where everything's carefully curated to our, you know, preferences, has given everybody the self-importance of, like, some type of French king, where it's like our way or else, and it has to be immediate. And I think, for real, I think me and you, even though we're getting back into our hey, you kids, get off my lawn territory, I don't think we're wrong. And to be honest, just to be clear, we only want the kids off our lawn because you're not allowed to go near them legally.
Well, they keep setting the trees on fire.
There's that, too.
Well, no, but I agree with you. We're lockstepping into something where it doesn't make any sense.
So stupid.
We're lockstepping into this thing where I'm sorry, I've had 80 thoughts at once, and I just... there's just so many things going on right now that bother me on so many levels.
Well, and to put it in Robert Palmer terms, I will say, you know, even if you can't complete the thought, this interview was simply irresistible, Dave Landau.
Well, I think that's true, and I think Robert Palmer, is he alive?
I don't think Robert Palmer is alive. He is dead.
You know, Joshua, well, I'm glad, because he shouldn't have to see this.
Thank you. No, thank you. Doctor, give me the news. I've got a bad case of canceling you. That would be the song nowadays. You disagreed with me. We got to can. Doctor. I mean, it's just awful. We're just a bunch of, honestly, I hate having these talks, because sometimes we talk about, you know, we tell jokes about crazy things in society, and people get mad at us because they think we're going too far as comedians. But I love that. It's one of the most fun things in the world. But on the days.
No, but you're right. When he agrees to do the peaceful transition of power, and they're like, all right, we got to get the codes from him. Let's silence him from everything possible. Let's make it so the president can't talk to the people. And everybody's like, that all seems fine. Let me put my mask on and go outside so I don't get shouted at by a crazy person. I live in fear. Don't. What's that? To wear a mask in my own home? Okay.
It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. We have gotten, there has never been more information at our disposal, and we've never been dumber as a result of it. We are the dumbest generation that's ever lived. And I circle back to comics in saying that. If you're cheering free speech as a comic, you're an idiot. Why? Because we talk for a living. So every time you shrink the lane, it gets a little bit harder on the talkers. You dig? killing me, Dave Landau.
If you don't have a difference of opinion, there can't be comedy. There's nothing to insult if everyone agrees on everything.
Thank you.
It's boring.
Very well said. And we're all a bunch of fat, spoiled children now. We think the world is our birthday party and we all get special rules, but we don't, America. Here's the problem with the Everybody Special movement. Not everybody's special. And I think Dave and I just proved it. So thank you, Dave.
No. And I would largely say most are not.
No, including the members of this conversation. So thank you.
Exactly. Hate me more than anyone could.
I say that to people on social media all the time. I'm like, why are you insulting me? You can never be as harsh as the voices in my head. I'm like, you want to relax? I'm like, you're like an entry-level insult to the things I'm saying to myself every day during my commute. Stop it.
You've never fashioned a noose guy on Twitter.
Get back to me, and you piker.
Looked up at my ceiling, dragged a knife across my wrist.
Good God, Davey. Powerful. What powerful imagery to leave us on. Good work. There he goes, the Robert Palmer of comedy, everybody, Dave Landau. See you soon, brother.
Thank you.
You're the best. Fast break. We're back after this.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, 888-788-9910. Shout out to Dave Landau. If you're in the Ohio area, I've got some great affiliates out there. Check him out at Hilarities in Cleveland. He is there this weekend. Some of you Ohio peeps need to laugh after last night's debacle with the Ohio State Buckeyes. That was a doozy. Maybe go see Diamond Dave, who was being honest when he agreed with me that late-night comedy has failed this country. We don't have the escapism we used to have, where you could shut off the news at the end of the day and we could all just go have a laugh. Like, hey, we're all in this thing of ours together, you know? We don't do that anymore. You turn on late-night comedy, and as Dave was saying, like Stephen Colbert, you know, if you don't agree with it, you're not going to laugh at it. I got to be honest with you. Even if you do agree with it, you're not going to laugh at it because it's terrible, okay? Comics need to be comics. You're not supposed to be advancing an ideology. You're supposed to be advancing, you know, a vibe. Be cool. Have fun. America needs that. That's why we try to come on here every day and kind of give out an easy vibe. We're trying to hold this damn country together. Somebody back me up in the next hour, 888-788-9910.